League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from the Moody Gardens Golf Club in Galveston for the Dirty Birdie Charity Golf Classic. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Presented by Coors Light. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Tell you what, we need a contestant for the Beat the Limo guy. So at exactly 8 o'clock this morning. Now, you got to know your football. You're going to pick five games against the spread. Go get your on the computer. Find the spreads. Pick five games. Justin is going to pick five games from Black Horse Limo. At exactly 10 o'clock, this is going to happen. And if you beat Justin, you're going to get four tickets to Texans or Rockets or Astros or, well, probably not Astros playoffs. Texans or Rockets and the limo ride there and back and dinner at either Nick's Place or China Garden. So that's what we're going to be playing for at 10 o'clock. So at 8 o'clock, we're going to take caller number 20, 713-780-3776. So we give the streamers an opportunity as well. Everybody's going to get the opportunity. When your clock says 8 o'clock exactly, you are going to call in 713-780-3776, and the 20th caller will play Justin. Know what you're going to do. Justin was 1-4 this week and lost. He lost the double banger, okay, which was the big one, Pittsburgh. Oh, look at Phil. I mean, if there's one thing I don't want to do, it's be with Phil in alternate shot. We were just talking about it in here.
John has less focus than me, Del.
Okay.
He's talking about double bangers, and he's like, Phil.
Well, Phil just double crossed his shot.
Yeah.
He hit a double crosser. Anyway, so 713-780-3776. Justin was terrible, 1-4. They're going to the Texans game. They're going to Nick's Place in the limo. So that was well done last week. So at 8 o'clock exactly. All right, we got a couple of callers in here. Curtis wants to talk about his Astros. What do you say, Curtis?
Gentlemen, good morning. Happy Friday to you guys.
To you too.
You too.
It's a pleasure and honor to call into the number one sports show in Houston.
That's
also
afternoon.
Shout out to our Dynamo. I believe they're the world champions, the best soccer team in the world. So that's awesome.
Yes,
too. They are.
They are. Well, maybe not the world, but okay.
Yeah, that feels strong, but they're the U.S. Open champs.
Yeah.
Well,
so congratulations, winning the U.S. Open.
That's right.
As opposed to, like, you know, the Nicaraguan Open.
Hey, yep. I meant to call in yesterday. It was just such an exclusive, show. It's hard to get in sometimes. But, you know, real quick, you guys were talking about, you know, the pitching matchups. John, you're right. A.J. Hinch kind of thinks a little differently, especially come playoff time. It's not like, of course, you're going Verlander, Cole first, but in the third game, you're going to give Keuchel the start. You're going to give him a try. If he gets past that first inning and if he gets going, he's lethal, and he can get through, you know, he can get to seven innings easy if he's just, you know, getting those soft ground balls. But he's going to be on a short leash, and you know who's going to be coming in right after that is that boy Josh James with the 100-mile-an-hour fastball and the 90-mile-an-hour power change. That's the X factor of coming in. And so you kind of forget that. That's kind of how it's not just one guy. It's going to be a hybrid approach, especially in the third game. It's great. You know, I feel like that's what Hinch is going to do. Josh James
will
be lethal.
You know what? That'd be a great combination. The soft toss and lefty, and then you come in with 100 mile an hour from the right side.
So sick.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. That's if Josh James isn't your game three starter. Because if Morton can't go, I wouldn't be shocked at all if Josh James wasn't game three or four.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'd be a little bit surprised.
I mean, wouldn't.
If you talk about, I mean, if AJ values World Series experience and all this and that, I don't know that he's throwing Josh James.
Well, I'll tell you this. I was shocked that he brought him in Boston.
Yeah.
In a big series that was crucial, and he threw him, I think it was three innings in Boston when in a tight game. I think AJ's
Morton.
Like, I don't know that I don't know, has AJ had this kind of toy before, 100 miles an hour but with a 90 mile an hour slider? I don't know.
But it's not like Josh James has dominated the competition though. Everyone talks about 100 mile an hour fastball, but he hasn't been just like this lights out dominant phenomenon.
No,
though.
No.
That's why, I mean, 100 miles an hour is great, but that doesn't mean
I'm going to tell you this. You're going to see Josh James in the postseason in critical situations.
You will. You're not going to see him start, though. I can't. Not when you have the four starters you have.
No.
Well, if Morton can't go.
No,
yeah.
But only if Morton can't go.
Yeah.
There's no way he surpasses Morton. All right, John wants to get in here and talk about Carlos Correa as well.
Yeah.
Hey, John, how are you?
Yeah, I had a comment on Correa. Here's my thoughts on Correa. And, you know, Lance, you mentioned earlier, it's like we don't want to not start him or not play him up in the lineup as much, so we don't want to offend him. I don't think it matters because, say, he gets his crap together and he really kicks ass, he's a badass player for the next few years, he's probably not going to sign with us. And if he doesn't get his shit together,
doesn't get his stuff together.
Well, that was aggressive.
Is John still there?
Well, he probably
Dell probably had to dump
him. We get your point. Why do you think that he's not going to sign with the Astros?
Well, I mean, there's thoughts that he'll go test the market somewhere
maybe.
Else. Here's
and
the
so
thing.
That there was thoughts that Altuve might, and there was thoughts that.
So, but what are you saying? Like, well, we're not going to be able to hang on to him anyway, so don't play him, and he's not good enough. And I mean, Carlos Correa is still a very good defensive option as
Rangy. But listen, if that's the case, if you think you're not going to, but that's
you
know, that's silly to
decisions
think that,
about something that's happening
three years from now.
That's not even in the. It's not even in their thoughts.
And, yeah, that's not even in the.
We might lose him in 3 years. Don't play him.
Right? No. But here's the deal. If he's not hitting and you don't think you're going to resign him, then yeah, who cares? You know what?
Maybe in 3 years.
You know what this organization is hoping is that, holy crap, Carlos, please turn it back around because they got him on arbitration for 3 years, and they're like, oh my God, how much do we have to pay him for what he did his first couple of years? And now if he's going to be this Carlos Correa, what? I mean, this is like, have you seen a guy fall off? Yeah, we've seen it before.
Oh, baseball's where it happens.
Where you just fall
baseball's
off the
world. Baseball's the home of falling off the world because a lot of it's so mental and confidence. He obviously just doesn't have the confidence right now.
This is David Duvall-esque. I mean, from number one in the world to he hits it sideways.
It's not that far a fall.
Dude,
that's one of the worst falls of all time in sports.
Carlos Correa is bad.
Carlos
dude.
Is having what has happened to lots of major leaguers before. You go from good year to really surprisingly off year, and that does happen in baseball. But I don't know that it's going to end his career. I mean, David Duvall basically his career was over as we knew it. I don't think that's what we're talking about. You know, I really don't think that's what we're talking about. I just think that, you know, Carlos he lost his guy Alex Cora, who really helped him with a lot of the approach at the plate stuff, and I think he's struggling with that right now, you know, and I'm not sure what it's going to take to get him back, but this team is way more than Carlos Correa's bat. Carlos Correa's bat right now would just give you another level that would make you that much harder to beat. But even without Carlos Correa this year, the Astros have more wins. Carlos Correa has missed a portion of the season and has not hit effectively for a long time, and they still are going to have more wins this year than last year. So, I mean, I think you're still okay. I don't want to overly focus on that when the fact is if Bregman can keep playing at a peak level, if Altuve is the guy that they really need to get turned back around here, back on the high side, get him a little hot going into the playoffs, which may or may not happen, but he strikes me as a guy that can flip a switch and, you know, he could end up just taking over.
I'm hoping Carlos is that guy too. I'm hoping that he just all of a sudden he goes, "Oh, that's right." He looks in the mirror. That's right. I'm Carlos Correa. I forgot. Let's take a break.
I hope Tyler White does that. and says, oh, that's right, I'm Tyler White.
No, I don't want Tyler White to look in the mirror.
No. I'm saying I'm Tyler White from the last couple months.
No. Tyler White woke up one day. If he's going to wake up one day and go, holy crap, I'm not supposed to hit like this. I'm Tyler White. I look like Thorin Oakenshield. I'm not supposed to be doing this. You got to talk right now because we got people that are calling in to play Beat the Limo Guy as we speak. Right now, though, you should save people money.
So on Bill Advisor, so this is one of the things that I know some of you are worried about is I don't have all day to be on the phone and deal with this and that. And if I told you that Bill Advisor could do everything for you, all you have to do is just get your bills together. That's all you need to do. And I know it's a big pain. Like, oh, no, I'm paperless because I got an extra $1.50 discount if I went paperless. And just get your username, password, do whatever it takes. Get your bills and just get them to Bill Advisor. They'll look through your bills or see where your rates are. They know what your rates should be and what most people are paying. They'll see if there's any bogus, you know, phony little charges, because there are some companies that will put charges on there that they can get taken off because they're just ways of taking more money from you. And Bill Advisor does all this. You don't have to do anything other than you might get a phone call, three-way call, where a company like AT&T, for example, said, do you give Bill Advisor permission to speak for you? And I said, yes, I do. Thank you very much. Click. I hung up. And then a couple hours later, I got a call from the person working on my account who said, you're all done. We saved you here. Your new bill is this on your cell phone. Your new bill is this on internet and home phone, which is bundled. I got you a special deal with...
RentersWarehouse.com Roadshow, live from the Moody Gardens Golf Club in Galveston for the Dirty Birdie Charity Golf Classic. This is The Bench.
The Bench
on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Presented by Coors Light,
the world's most refreshing beer.
Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Hey, listen, the dude wasn't, you're like, he said, duh, Dirty Birdie, because that's how it is. It's D-A, duh, Dirty Birdie.
That's right.
All right? And so that's where we are. We are live at Moody Gardens Golf Course here in Galveston. Beautiful drive down this morning. It looks like, I don't know, it looks like I don't think we're supposed to get any rain, but we are going to have a golf tournament out here. We've been promoting it. It is a wonderful event. Ronald McDonald's House is going to be benefiting from it. And also, we'll talk about it throughout the day here, but this is a great event. Tiny and the crew put it all together. It is just a wonderful, wonderful day today. If you got a chance, come on down because it's a party. And we've already had gigantic burritos. That was one of the biggest burritos I've ever seen, breakfast burritos. And Dell, you got none. Because you're not here.
Well, I think enormous. I'm still winning on this one, John.
How does it feel if you're European to be our bitch? That's what I want to know.
Probably not great.
Okay. That's all I'm saying. 3-1. Tiger's the only one that lost this morning in the early matches.
First Brexit, now this. Percocet.
Well, it seemed like he was on Percocet. He was pulling everything, if you want to know the truth. He couldn't get off the tee. And then he couldn't. It was just ridiculous. But they lose their match. But the other ones all, hey, man, they're our biz notch lately. And I'm just sick of just pounding
them. It happens.
You know what I'm saying? Well, they're Euros. Yeah. They're probably smoking cigarettes in between matches or as they're walking down the fairways while we're all in great shape drinking Coors Lights.
I feel like that might be outdated.
What?
Well, the whole Euros.
Oh no, they smoke cigarettes
and like the young golfers.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
You think?
Yeah, because they're European. They have horrible teeth. And
I don't feel
cigarettes.
Like that's the case, but then, like the whole teeth thing is a real thing. I know you want to act like it's a not act like, but you might think, that's just a stereotype. But then everybody you see, go look at any. I was watching Hugh Grant, right? The famous Hugh Grant, the actor, and he's in some show on. About a true story. It's on, I don't know, Hulu or Prime, one or the other. And there's Hugh Grant, and I notice his teeth is just, like, janky. Like, it's just rotten picket fence just all over. It's just all like a shark's mouth.
That's what they do.
And I just said, this is Hugh Grant. This was like the king of romantic comedies. You know, I didn't know. And I'm like, he's the guy that the girls all loved in the 90s and into the 2000s. And then you see
the
mouth.
Then he had hookers, remember?
Yeah, that gave him some edge, though.
What do you think? Either that or
back then it wasn't as cool as it is now.
No, it's cooler now, but
much cooler now.
It's still janky a little bit.
Well, it was a little bit of it was a look. I remember that was in the 90s. Like, Hugh, you can pull anything. What are you doing? So, and it wasn't like high priced call girl in New York or Vegas. It was like just janky street hooker.
Yeah.
Like, what is he doing? By the way, kids, do good at school today.
Are the kids on their way to school right now?
It's possible.
Well, mommy, why does the bad man say that Europe's our bitch?
After 7:10. The tea thing is a real thing. That's a real thing with the Europeans.
Right.
Or at least the British. Maybe not the Europeans, but the British, it's a real thing.
Yeah, it's a real thing. Yeah. No, it absolutely is. Try to go there and see a lot of crooked.
Why are none of you enterprising young dentists setting up shop in Europe? Like, that's a fertile market. Why would you not just move over there and say, is there no one here to take these pounds?
I kind of feel like they just wouldn't. I think you'd starve if you were a dentist there because nobody would just go.
But can't you have a big branding campaign like Britain, get straight? And it's like teeth straightening and getting your teeth fixed.
Because
I feel like you could make so much money over there.
Yeah, but then the LBGQL community would get all nuts.
I don't know if it's
go
the same.
Straight.
I don't know if it's the same
campaign.
In Britain. Yeah, I don't know if you'd have the same. I don't know if Up Rocks would write an article about
you. Yes, they would be. Yes.
Yeah.
Why you want us to be straight? Mm-hmm.
No, it's just the teeth. It's a brand. It's marketing.
No, it's not.
It's a play on words. That's all it is.
Let me ask you this question, Lance.
Yeah.
This iteration of Rams.
Yeah.
Maybe more exciting than. I don't maybe not more exciting, but this might be a better team than the Greatest Show on Turf, because defensively,
you know, it's just almost sacrilegious
look at the two corners that they lost, and they're still. I mean, that's a fun team.
You're gonna have to play a little for. I mean, you got to play better defensively. Of course, Minnesota does have an all. I mean, Kirk Cousins can throw it. Thielen's
they just
a good
lost
player.
Their two starting corners.
No,
though.
There's no question. How long is Peters out for?
He's week to week, I think.
Yeah,
but Tlaib's gone for
that game. Tlaib, yeah. I think Tlaib.
He's on the IR. He's going to have to. What is it? Eight
I don't
weeks.
Think, I don't think. Was he designated to return?
I think so.
All right. So,
pardon me. Peters played.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I thought. I was headed out here after I host something.
I was watching at a bar, and surprisingly, I was at a bar. And
were you?
Yeah. And I just watching them go up and down the field. They're just fun.
Yeah, you're right. He's designated to return. Tlaib. We'll see how the ankle heals. But you know, when you say that about Greatest Show on Turf, I'm like, I don't know. You're talking about just an unbelievable offensive attack, a phenomenal left tackle, two Hall of Fame caliber wide receivers. Blah blah blah. Marshall Faulk, and then when you think about it, okay, well, the offense isn't as explosive, but I'd say it's, you know, it's definitely really, really good. But then the defense on paper is going to be better than that Rams team. On paper, it's better than that Rams team. And you think about it, they moved Quinn as a pass rusher. I'm sure they'd love to have his pass rushing. Dell's happy about his pass rushing there in Miami. But when you look at the East, I think that you'll see a new Philadelphia team in very short order. Now that Carson Wentz is back, and once he gets in the swing of things, I think you'll see Philadelphia become Philadelphia. New Orleans their defense is just – I know they got a win against Atlanta, who has never come back from the Super Bowl hangover. New Orleans, though, defensively just stinks this year, and they look like they had finally gotten over the hump a little bit last year. So when you look at the NFC, I mean – it's hard to find a lot of competition right now because Minnesota, this is a second straight game. We talked about it before we went on the air. Their defense has been lousy.
Well, we talked about
it
yesterday.
That's the strength.
It's New Orleans in the divisional round. the conference championship against Philadelphia, they give up 38.
You buying into Green Bay as
they
a major factor?
They gave up 29 to Green Bay, but barely, and luckily won that. They should have lost that game, they or tied that. They gave up 27 to Buffalo. They gave up 38 last night. This is not one of the best defenses in the NFL.
So far, it's definitely not. And you look at what the Rams have, and, you know, and L.A. is L.A. is definitely a front-running town, but once you're winning, I mean, those fans are all on board now.
They're going to jump.
They're all on board with the Rams right now.
I don't care what the Chargers do, though. I don't think they're going to get on board.
It's just not going to be a – I talked to Matt Money Smith, who is their play-by-play announcer, and we were talking about the Chargers coming to L.A. He goes, look, the Rams haven't been received the way that – the Rams haven't been received the way that they hoped they would be because they didn't get off to a fast start. He said the Chargers look at L.A. as like, you know, they got a chance, but they got to win quickly. But I just, now that the Rams are successful, everyone's going to jump in with the Rams. They got Todd Gurley, the first pick of the draft, and Jared Goff. Brandon Cooks came over from New England.
Woods. I mean, they're low.
Aaron Donald is the hot stuff and defensively. They got a bunch of names. Like, they got name brand.
And then they went in free agency and grabbed Tlaib and Peters. And
you know what? It almost feels like a move to capture the imagination of the city so they could get L.A. behind them. I know it was football moves, but I'm just saying it's the kind of moves that will get the city behind you. And now that Goff is playing, I mean, he had 5 touchdowns yesterday. Goff and I mean, Goff went to work yesterday.
Look at Goff. I mean, remember
and Cooper Kupp, they hit with him big time. Wide receiver.
Remember when with Jeff Fisher and everybody, Jared Goff, he didn't win at Cal, right?
Right.
And everybody said, and then he's got his rookie year with Jeff Fisher, and they're like, what? Okay.
It's the dumbest thing ever for people to say that.
But look at the difference between with him and McVay, though. I mean, he is.
But he didn't play a lot of his, like, his rookie year was, they put him on the bench for a while and let him learn.
But even when he got out there.
When he got out there, and it was very, very limited time, his first season, I want to say they kept him out for more than half the year. And, yeah, you had Jeff Fisher, who hung on to jobs longer than anybody in the world. But, yeah, there was actually articles. I saw an article, and I want to say it was in USA Today. Is it too early to call Jared Goff a bust? This is like 7 weeks into the NFL season. And he
maybe
had been
it's a little
like,
early.
And I just thought, man, I can't believe this is who we are as a media entity that we have, right? Like, this is what passes, that you ask about somebody being a bust this early when he wasn't even really playing all that much. That just goes to show you where we are, though. And remember that with Deshaun Watson. If Deshaun gets you down at any point this year where you think, well, this isn't the same guy we saw last year, that's part of the process. Now, Deshaun may not get it back to what he did those first 6 games. But he may become a really good quarterback, but you have to have some ups and downs. That's the normal progress. Carson Wentz, go look at his rookie season. It was filled with plenty of ups and downs. I mean, Carson Wentz wasn't people probably misremember Carson Wentz's rookie year. It's like, what did he throw for, about 26 touchdowns and 10, you know, 10 interceptions? No. It wasn't Carson Wentz. I'll pull up his numbers, but it wasn't a monster rookie season. Peyton Manning.
Oh, Peyton was terrible.
Threw a ton of interceptions early on. I mean, there are ups and downs of young quarterbacks. You have to have patience, and fan bases are not patient at all. I mean, there is no patience. Everyone wants everyone gone. Trade, cut, trade, fire, do this. And there are certain guys you have to have patience with, and the quarterback is number one. That is a big change going from college to the pros. And Jared Goff, the Rams right now are – I mean, you look at that draft, the year before, who was it? It was Jameis Winston followed by Marcus Mariota, 1 and 2. I mean, it just feels kind of right now. Now you look at the other one, and you got Jared Goff and Carson Wentz. Man, this – ooh, man.
Dustin.
Janky teeth.
Dustin, jank.
But Jared Goff and Carson Wentz, I mean, man, that looks pretty serious for a 1-2.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah, it does. And, oh, by the way, you know, Deshaun's year ain't looking too bad either with Pat Mahomes. You think Pat Mahomes looks any good right now? Yeah, pretty good. How's that going? Man. All right, let's take one here. We are live at Dirty Birdie, a golf tournament right here. in Galveston at Moody Gardens. Tulsa Inspection Resources, we appreciate.
Yeah, here's Carson Wentz, rookie year. 16 touchdowns, 14 interceptions. You know there are Eagle fans who are like, he's a bum! He's a bum! He's the
We're all here today to benefit Almina Shriners and the Ronald McDonald House of Galveston. It's all because of the Crew de Rue, and we'll talk about that throughout the day. Right here, live from Galveston, John and Lance. And you know what? You need, if you're going to play some golf, you need some testosterone.
Well, I mean, it helps. It helps if you want to knock it down the fairway. I mean, if your testosterone level is where it's supposed to be. I talk about your energy level all the time, but, you know, there's a performance aspect to it as well. You will perform better. You get stronger. You get leaner, especially if you're working out. I mean, if you're just getting treatments and you don't do anything, you may not see the same kind of results. But if you do it in conjunction with, you know, eating right and working out, your results are really going to ramp up because your body is functioning more like it did when you were in your 20s and 30s. And that's what the testosterone level does for you. It does so much. It's produced naturally in the body, and when your body isn't producing it the same way and it drops, you are going to experience some lulls in your quality of life, mental acuity, your energy level, your drive at workplace. It can affect the libido, not in everybody, but it can affect the libido. If any of these things sound like it could be you, I want you to do something about it, man. Don't just sit around and decide, well, I guess this is how it's going to be for the next 40 years. You don't have to do that. Go fight back. Go to Men's T Clinic. They'll find out what's going on with you. And if you're low testosterone, they'll get you treated and get you back to being the real you. Pearland, Pasadena, The Heights, right there in Cypress. They've got four locations, and they're all waiting to take care of you. They open at 8 o'clock today. Today's the day that you get started. Today is that day. Go to MensTClinic.com. That's MensTClinic.com.
Money in the power. Once you get
today is Football Friday, which means we will be giving away things every hour, and we'll get to those later. Actually, some pretty good prizes. And if you qualify by winning one of those prizes for Football Friday, that means you have a chance to get sent to Florida October 5th as part of Florida Football Friday. We're giving away a prize each hour, and every prize given, as I mentioned, is a qualifier for the grand prize drawing, which is a round-trip air transportation, 4 days rental car, hotel accommodations at the Hampton Inn and Suites Amelia Island, tickets to the football game at TIAA Bank Field in Jacksonville, Florida on October 21st with the parking pass. It may feature a team from the city playing a team from Jacksonville and a professional football game. You get a round of golf for two at Amelia National Golf and Country Club, all courtesy of Florida's First Coast of Golf. For more information and contest rules, visit ESPN975.com. Now back to John and Lance.
So it was a very unfortunate set of circumstances for CC Sabathia, who should have kept his anger / disappointment in check. Did you see what happened to him yesterday?
No.
He has a trigger in his contract that if he pitched 155 innings, because, you know, CC has had some injury issues and whatnot. If he pitched 155 innings, he was going to get a $500,000 incentive-based kicker in his contract. So he needed to last through the seventh yesterday. He was in the middle of a one-hitter. Into, I think it was the fifth. He was in the middle of a one-hitter and two innings shy, yeah, of earning the $500,000 incentive, and he was ejected from the game. He entered Thursday's game and pitched 148 innings, and what would be his final start of the year, he had to last through the seventh, and he was tossed by home plate umpire Vic Carapaza in the bottom of the sixth inning after throwing a 92-mile-an-hour cutter into Tampa Bay catcher Jesus Sucre's left leg. I don't really make decisions based on money, I guess, Sabathia said after the Yanks won 12-1. It just felt like it was the right thing to do. Carapaza had issued warnings minutes prior following a pitch in the top of the inning from Rays reliever Andrew Kittredge that sailed behind Yankees catcher Austin Romine's head. After the warnings, the next batter to be thrown at or hit would be ejected. Anytime you feel like your player safety is in jeopardy, all guys take exception to that, said Sabathia. So Sabathia readily admits he was protecting his guy.
Mm-hmm.
And
do you think
he was well aware before he threw the
pitch?
Oh,
I'm sure.
Do you think before he threw the pitch, though, he thought this is going to cost me
$500,000. Oh, maybe, but he
may have kind of forgot
his
about it.
Oh, maybe no, his agent
I'm sure
told
he,
him before
he knew
the game.
Going in.
Yeah,
but I wonder in the moment, when he was all fired up because a ball went behind someone's head. That's a big deal in baseball to throw behind somebody. Do you think that there's any chance that he just kind of forgot about it? Or he would have done something different. He's an old he's a long time baseball guy.
No, I think he said,
guy.
I don't care.
I think that's it. Yeah. I think he just said, we're not doing that.
No. Nope.
We're not doing that.
That ain't the right. You ain't playing right? I don't care. It cost him $500 large. $500,000 to throw that pitch. Wow. In the middle of a one hitter. Because he definitely would have gone to seven. He definitely would have gotten his money. That is crazy. I mean, he's got so much money. I guess, you know.
Listen, now this is your kind of thing. This was Sabathia's fifth ejection of the year. He's like the Rasheed Wallace of baseball now. Or who is it now? It's Draymond. He's like Draymond. And of his career, second this season. So fifth of career. He was also ejected from the dugout on Toronto against Toronto on July 7th. Now listen to this. As he was walking off the mound, there's no doubt that this is intentional, and he's going to get fined. So not only did it cost him $500,000, he's going to get fined here because he can't even claim plausible deniability like it got away from me, because as he was walking off the mound, he turned to the Rays dugout, pointed in shadow, and shouted, "That was for you, bitch." It was unclear towards whom he specifically was directing his anger. Then feet from the Yankees dugout, Sabathia made a motion toward his crotch as he glanced back to the Rays dugout. I think Major League Baseball is saying, did you hit him on purpose? It got away from me. Why did you say that was for you, Boone? And why did you grab your sack?
Wait a minute. So he can't be drafted number one overall now.
Yeah.
Because if you grab your nut,
can't do
how
that.
About that? It's okay. You know what? You're walking off the mound, you grab your – hey, what? But Baker Mayfield does it to Kansas, and what happens?
Nothing. He was drafted first.
That is true.
Yeah.
Nothing happened.
I don't even remember what I said, Sabathia. I was just yelling. Cameras caught some surprised Tampa Bay players. Rays pitcher Blake Snell was seen motioning with his hands and saying, it's 11-0. Why? Saying it's 11-0. Why? Around the same time, Yankees right fielder Aaron Judge positioned himself along the first baseline near the Rays dugout, attempting to keep the peace. Eventually, he started laughing with Rays pitcher Sergio Romo. You never know what's going to happen with stuff like that. You remember when
Romo's a hot that dude. You got to watch that dude.
That's why you probably wanted to get over there by him to make sure. Like, just want to be over here by the crazy guy.
Yeah.
So he, you know, actually, I'm not sure that is the smartest move. But remember the Rays? Do you remember my favorite moment with a fight was when Pedro Martinez, the ultimate hothead, was a Red Sox, and the Rays got a little lippy with him, and he's like, and he will let you know I'm about to hit you. And he just dotted. Who was it that he dotted in the back, and then they ran after him and, like, punched him in the – I mean, it was a good one. Pedro Martinez – should probably not have thrown at them, but he doesn't even care. I'll never forget that fight. I just can't remember who it was. Reggie Sanders ran out and just said, okay. Because Pedro was – now, that's an old school – there's a lot of the new baseball fans. No, it wasn't Reggie Sanders. That's a fight with the Expos. Gerald Williams is who – Pedro had a few dust-ups.
Oh, yeah.
He hit a lot of guys.
No question.
But he basically just said, okay,
watch
you're
going
to get hit. Bang.
Boom. Bing, bang, boom.
So we're watching the video, and when
boom.
A guy thinks he got hit on purpose, from Pedro, and Pedro will let you know it's going to be on. And
but guess what?
Yeah,
you can
Google Pedro Martinez and fights. Now, there's going to be a few. He'll throw down Don Zimmer in one.
Yeah,
you got him fighting as an Expo. You got him fighting as a Red Sox. That's what.
So our Astros in Houston and all across the Lone Star State were rained out yesterday. They're gonna play two on Saturday, right?
Yeah,
but they're gonna do it as singles, so that they can charge two admissions for both of them. If I'm a Baltimore fan with my 48 wins, don't you think they should just, this is the last series, open the gates and let everybody come in for free?
You know,
Are you kidding me? I think
that would be great. I'd be interested to see what the owner says. I'd be interested to see what the owner says.
Yeah, well,
I like that a radio host in Houston's giving all my money away. I think that's really
what
great.
What money away?
I think
what
that's
money
really
away?
Great.
Well, all the people that aren't going to come to watch the
game? Should he just give away his food and beverages too for free?
No. That's the only way he's going to make any money, if he gets some parking and he gets some food and beverage. That's the only way they'll possibly.
That's not a bad plan.
Well, do you think anybody's going to – and wait a minute.
Try to up your – you know what? That's not a bad plan. Try to up – well.
Just make it a doubleheader where everybody gets to come in. What is wrong with you? Oh, we're gonna. It's going to be two single games with full admission to both games. What? You got 48 wins. You're the worst. This is one of the worst teams in baseball history.
Do you know, I have a friend in the NFL who was contacted by the Orioles, and he said – the Orioles management said, can you come talk to us? And he goes, yeah. And they said, what do y'all do for your analytics and stuff like that? Now, this is a baseball team. This is where analytics, like, that's where Moneyball started. I thought everyone used it. And he said, it was terrifying. They were like a team from the 70s or something. He said, they're so disheveled. They have no, like, this isn't a trust the process. Yeah. This isn't one of these. This is literally, he said, I couldn't believe it. A major league team who had no idea about analytic, nothing.
Well, I remember when Jim Crane was in studio with us, we asked him about, the analytics and Jeff Luhnow, and how he goes, yeah, when we got to the Astros, it was like nobody had any everything was on paper, and everybody was just, and phone calls and paper. And now the whole thing, he's like, we had to get all kinds of computers and stuff. It was like, are you kidding me? How far? And Jeff Luhnow just goes, oh, no, that is not how we do it. That is not how this is going to go. And sure enough, and the Orioles are still there. If you don't get a guy that's going to – that's why Luhnow, I don't think Luhnow, you haven't read it yet, Astro Ball.
No, I really do need to.
You really have to. To him putting this whole thing together. I mean, and it's not just we have to find some players, at the moment. It's throughout the organization.
It's an organizational plan.
It's an organization in every level, how they develop players and use statistics and use spin rate, how they use hit zones and hot zones. And, I mean, it's every single step of the way that he had to redo an entire organization. And he did that. And look at the time and how quickly he was able to do that. He said the other day during the celebration, I don't know. Are you of the opinion that this is a better team than last year's team?
I mean, it's so hard to say that because last year's team won a World Series. But I do think it's more capable of handling whatever. You're less likely to get in precarious situations because I think you have starters who – I think – they're not going a ton of innings, but we know that they're built for it. We know they can go a ton of innings, and they haven't been overused. The starters haven't. We've got a bullpen with more arms in it. And then you've got, I think the one thing right now that's a question, it's hard to say this after last year, is can you if a pitcher gets hot, can you string enough hits together? Because you're not as potent as you were last year with the long ball.
Well, that's – no, not even close. You're 100 points less, and your OPS is 100 points down from last year. So that's why I question. I know you're better. I know the bullpen is better. I know the starters are better. But when you got to have that hit, I mean, they seem to have gotten a lot better of late with that, in that they are more clutch now and late, and they're actually looking a lot more like last year's offensive team. But it's not even close to last year's offensive team. The run scored, the OPS, the on base, everything. Everything is down this year. I mean, and in large part because of Altuve and Correa.
But, yeah, no question. But I still feel like, that was such a clutch team and powerful team up and down the block. But I don't know. You have more I just know that when a starter gets hot, the other team's got a lot of problems against the Astros. Mm-hmm. I mean, if Cole gets hot, I mean, you have some legitimate – you got three guys who are a one or a two on most teams. I mean, Dallas Keuchel, the way he's pitched now, I would say for the Astros, he's clearly a three. But for most of the year, I mean, for the second part of the season, I mean, Dallas Keuchel's been a good number two most teams.
No, absolutely. All right, we'll take one here. And I want to talk about that. My SportsMap article yesterday talked about Dallas Keuchel being game two starter, which sounds crazy, but it might happen. Let's talk right now, though, about Jeff Aronoff over at Absolute Marble. And granted, he is spectacular at what he does. I mean, everywhere you go, I mean, there's nowhere that doesn't have countertops. Obviously a vanity for your bathroom. If you have a nice home and you don't have, how are you not, especially with the weather, how it's going to change now, sit outside, have your grills set up, have your outdoor patio, have your an outdoor kitchen out there where you can cook nice. He'll put a plate for a TV to be put up there so you can be outside and enjoy some nice weather here. I mean, you just have to have an outdoor kitchen. And this is what Jeff Aronoff does. He sets the whole thing. He set ours up. It was just fantastic. So you're looking for a guy to do these things for you and at a price at 20% off, people. This is a great deal because you're a 97.5 listener. Give them a call, 713-880-2822. 713-880-2822. It's Jeff Aronoff at Absolute Marble and Granite. Tell him you heard it right here.
ESPN 97.5.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from the Moody Gardens Golf Club in Galveston for the Dirty Birdie Charity Golf Classic. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Presented by Coors Light. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I mentioned giveaways earlier, and the first one's a pretty nice one. It is NBA 2K19 for the Xbox One. Finally, NBA 2K19 is out. It's the best NBA video game of all time. We're celebrating 20 years of redefining what sports gaming can be, from best-in-class graphics and gameplay to groundbreaking game modes. You can run the neighborhood while you enjoy the new NBA 2K19 soundtrack, featuring a hot selection of current hip-hop and pop artists. Simply put, NBA 2K19 is the deepest and most authentic simulation sports game available. Win NBA 2K19 on Xbox One, and you'll be entered into the grand prize drawing for Florida Football Fridays, and will have the opportunity to win a trip to Amelia Island and Jacksonville, Florida, all courtesy of Florida's First Coast of Golf. Get NBA 2K19 now on Xbox One, rated E for everyone. To give the streamers a chance, it'll be Caller 12 at 740. Caller 12 at 740 wins NBA 2K19 for the Xbox One. Now back to John and Lance.
Screw Francesco Molinari and Tommy Fleetwood. They took a point away from our guys, Tiger and Patrick Reed. And Tiger and Patrick Reed aren't playing this afternoon. So they're teeing off right now, Molinari and Fleetwood, who's their best team, against Spieth and Jordan and Justin. Okay? Is that not a millennials thing? Jordan and Justin?
Jordan and Justin. Sounds like. Yeah, it could have been Longhorns back in mid 2000s too.
Yeah,
Baz from Justin to Jordan, but it was Colt.
It was
Colt and Jordan.
Yeah, but it could have been Jordan to Justin. And by the way, if you're just getting up, U.S. leads 3-1 after the early matches.
Look at the fancy. What's his name on the right?
That's Dan Hicks. That's Hannah Storm's husband.
Yeah, Dan Hicks. Look at Dan Hicks with the three-piecer out there for the three-piece suit for the Ryder Cup.
It's the Ryder Cup.
Where's your pocket watch, bro?
All
in.
What's the problem with that?
Go all in, pocket watch it, because then I'm thinking that I'm watching some British guy do it. Fancy guy from Parliament.
Hannah Storm's like, that's my piece right there.
Good. Congrats, Hannah.
U.S. leads 3-1. Tiger sitting this afternoon. Tiger and Patrick Reed are both sitting this afternoon. Brooks Koepka's sitting this afternoon, which is crazy, but he is. He's sitting, and so it's on.
Brooks Koepka sounds like a Major League Baseball player.
Yeah.
Somebody who could hit bombs now.
Remember the UT guy? He was
Brooks Kieschnick.
Brooks Kieschnick.
That's probably why I think that. Yeah.
That's why you think that. Anyway, so here we are. We are live in Galveston. Dirty Birdie Golf Classic, raising money for Ronald McDonald's House and Almina Shriners right out here. So we will talk to Tiny in a little bit from the Crew to Rue about this nice event. We appreciate them having us out here and promoting it for them. Hopefully, they're going to have the weather today and have themselves a nice day. would it shock you at all if Keuchel was game two starter? You know, they like to go righty-lefty. Keuchel's been the ace. He's been a Cy Young winner. Well, I know Cole's been your second.
They never changed up. It's been Verlander.
Well, yeah, they did. They moved.
Wait.
They actually kept Verlander on his 4 days, so it moved.
Yeah.
It changed.
I think they're going to keep it the way it is right now, relatively speaking. So I think it's going to be – you know what? I do think it's going to be Keuchel.
You do?
Yeah, I do think Keuchel will be too. You know why? Because I think they like – well, no, wait a minute. So it's going to be – what, three is there?
Three is there.
I think they'll go Cole there and keep Keuchel at home. Of course, I got to check his splits.
They're not. It's not crazy. I looked at both
it's
of them,
not,
and I looked at Cole's too. It's not crazy.
No,
you know Keuchel can pitch in that.
Yeah, but Keuchel has some early. Here's why I would pitch him here. Keuchel gets into early trouble sometimes, and when he does, it could really go sideways. I'd rather have him at home with a home crowd than on the road where momentum could really get rolling on him. So I would rather have Cole, I think, pitching on the road. I think I'd rather have Keuchel, who can struggle a little early in a game. I'd rather have him at home pitching. That's kind of my feel on that. Because you know he has his first inning blues sometimes. That's not what you want to happen on the road in the playoffs where the fans can go bananas. I feel like you can overcome that a little bit better at home just because of the energy in the building. So I would say Verlander, Keuchel, Cole, 1-2-3.
It ended up with Keuchel, then Verlander, then Valdez, then Cole. And that's how the rotation ended
is
up.
Is Keuchel thrown again?
Because of the All-Star break, because of so many. Yeah, Keuchel's given up 15 runs in his last four outings. So it's been a real tough go for him of late.
Right.
But I don't know that that matters in the postseason.
It is what it is. You're throwing those are your top three.
Yeah.
So I mean,
well, I don't know. No, not necessarily. Charlie Morton's probably your third best guy.
Well, Charlie's
he has been all year.
Yeah, but he's. I guess if he's back.
If his shoulder
if you think
is
he can
perfect,
hold up,
yeah.
You know, it wouldn't make me sad if Charlie Morton got the game two start or game three start. That wouldn't make me sad at all.
I've heard Charlie Pulido say he thinks Keuchel might be game four, and if they're down 2-1, it's probably Verlander instead of Keuchel. I don't think that's the case though. I think that AJ looks
Skip
at things differently
him.
Than we do. AJ goes, that's a Cy Young Award winner. That guy won in New York City. For our wild card game,
that was long ago.
But that's been my – before Verlander got here, that was my ace. We've been through so much together.
See, I think he's really emotional. I think he's more analytical, and he just says, look, he's had a good second half of the season, and we think – you know, I really get the sense that he's more – we'll look at the lineup, look at the matchups, and say – I don't think he's overreactive now.
Well,
I think he's conservative.
What matchups are you
going to
look at? You're going to say, "Oh, it's Cleveland's hitters against our pitchers."
Yeah, no, he'll look at how Dallas has pitched, but I don't think he's going to say, "Well, he is my guy from 2015." I don't think he operates that way. That was a long time. What happened in 15 is irrelevant.
Well, no, but I think he looks at it and says, "Dallas Keuchel's got big game experience."
Yeah, I do think that's something.
Yeah,
there's something.
That's why I think McCann probably starts at catcher.
He wasn't a beast and. He wasn't a beast last year in the World Series, for example.
No.
I mean, Dallas Keuchel had a good start in the postseason last year, but Dallas Keuchel wasn't some killer last year in the postseason. So, I don't, you know, the big game experience is nice. I do think he's more current than he is a guy who will just be reactive based on reputation and things like that. And that's why I think Maldonado is going to be the guy ahead of McCann.
I don't think so. I think he's going to go because, first of all, you got all righty pitchers.
Who's a better hitter, though?
You got all they're
better pitching staff over there.
But they're all coming from the right side. So McCann's a lefty.
Well, he can hit. Yeah, I mean he can hit the other side of the plate. I don't know that it's going to be any better than what Maldonado could do from the right side.
No, well we don't know.
But he does play matchups like that.
And guys love McCann. I mean, McCann's like a dad on the team.
Well, but I think they like Maldonado too.
No, they like
the pitch
him too.
That guy is
no.
Really
but that's
talented
one,
at framing.
That's one position where you could see change. I don't know necessarily that you're going to see much. The lineup changes other than Maldonado, and I made the case that Kemp should be in the lineup instead of Correa.
God,
but that's not going to happen.
Yeah, it shouldn't happen.
You
can't do that.
Well, what do you mean you can't do that? How about
Correa? Kemp
is a better hitter across the board.
The Astros will be dead to him if you have Correa out of the lineup for the postseason. He will say, "I'm not staying here.
Well, you got to have deference for your number one overall pick. But I said, if you looked at it, if you came here, objectively looked at it,
yeah,
and didn't know that Correa was a number one overall pick, didn't know, and you just looked at this season, especially after the injury and everything else, and the way that he's hit the lately,
he was great last year.
Kemp should be in the lineup.
Yeah.
Kemp should be in the lineup.
Yeah. But Correa has, if Correa can get it going, and I'm tired of saying that because it's been a few months that we've been saying that mantra, but he is a guy who can go yard. He's a guy that can, I mean, he can have a bigger impact on a game than Kemp. In theory, obviously, we're talking about Carlos Correa as an all-star caliber player when he's right, and he had a great year last year. So, and he started off really well this year, but it's really hard to believe that he never got it turned around. We were saying that when he gets back from injury, when he gets everything turned around, and this is something we were saying like in early August.
Yeah.
Like here we are at the end of September, and it's still not turned around. That's just hard for me to believe. And that's how you know it's all mental and it's approach and it's stuff like that.
You know, and you talk about that. Yesterday I played in the tournament over at Prime.
Uh-huh. Poker.
Poker. And there was one big hand.
Yeah.
It was Larry was in it, and Larry's a great guy. It's the final table, and he had queen, 10, 9, 8, and he was one jack off.
Yeah. Okay?
So here's the deal.
Yeah.
If
that can happen.
You don't want to be one jack off.
No.
You want that straight.
Right, right. No gut shots.
No.
No.
No, but Larry was one jack off, and he paid the price for it.
Yeah, and you can too, and that's why you've got to be smart with what you do. You don't want to be one card away like Larry was with that jack.
Right.
You don't want to be that Larry who is one.
Nobody wants to be that Larry.
No, you don't want to do that. So, well, that's my dad's name. I got to be careful.
No, not that Larry.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to be Larry Zerline.
Yeah, but not the one that needs, that's always that's, looking for the jack.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that's the
jack off.
That's the problem.
Hey.
Yeah.
What?
How many
I'm
times?
I'm not. I mean, John's going to make sure you hear it 100 times.
He's like,
he can't just go once.
He's 14 years old.
You guys caught that, right? What I did there with the play on words.
See what I did? I was talking about poker, and then I made a double entendre. You see?
Did you hear it? Did you hear it?
If you didn't, I'll say it three more times.
But you chopped again. You got yourself a nice payday
again. I was
second
chip leader last yesterday.
Prime Social, that's how it works. When you go to Prime Social and you get in one of those tournaments, before you know it, if you're in the final 10, what y'all chop at? How many players?
Six.
Oh, ooh, okay. You had to go a little deeper. Sometimes it's a longer tournament and it's more people, they'll chop it at 10, 9, sometimes 8 players. But when you're in there at Prime Social, you're competing. It's a great way to compete for real money if you don't have your skills anymore. Your athletic skills. You go on there, you play some cards. It's psychological, it's intelligence, it's feel, it's guts, there's so much that goes into it. And yes, you're winning real money. Great menu, valet parking. It's a phenomenal location, a standalone building, and it is beautiful. All of the poker action right now is headed over to Prime Social. Be part of it. They're open 24 hours a day throughout the weekend, so you can come take advantage of cash games, or you can go play in a tournament. It starts every day at noon other than Sunday when it's at 2 o'clock. It's the best poker in Houston, bar none. And Johnny and I have been cashing out lately, and you can too at PrimeSocialTX.com.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from the Moody Gardens Golf Club in Galveston for the Dirty Birdie Charity Golf Classic. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Presented by Coors Light. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Tell you what, we need a contestant for the Beat the Limo Guide. So at exactly 8 o'clock this morning. Now, you got to know your football. You're going to pick 5 games against the spread. Go get your on the computer, find the spreads, pick 5 games. Justin is going to pick 5 games from Black Horse Limo at exactly 10 o'clock. This is going to happen. And if you beat Justin, you're going to get 4 tickets to Texans or Rockets or Astros or, well, probably not Astros playoffs. Texans or Rockets and the limo ride there and back and dinner at either Nick's Place or China Garden. So That's what we're going to be playing for at 10 o'clock. So at 8 o'clock, we're going to take caller number 20, 713-780-3776. So we give the streamers an opportunity as well. Everybody's going to get the opportunity. When your clock says 8 o'clock exactly, you are going to call in 713-780-3776, and the 20th caller will play Justin. Know what you're going to do. Justin was 1-4 this week and lost. He lost a double banger, okay, which was the big one, Pittsburgh. Oh, well, look at Phil. I mean, if there's one thing I don't want to do, it's be with Phil in alternate shot. We were just talking about it in here.
John has less focus than me, Dell.
Okay.
He's talking about double bangers, and he's like, Phil.
Well, Phil just double-crossed his shot. Yeah. He hit a double-crosser. Anyway, so 713-780-3776. Justin was terrible, 1-4. They're going to the Texans game. They're going to Nick's place in the limo. So that was well done last week. So at 8 o'clock exactly. All right, we got a couple of callers in here. Curtis wants to talk about his Astros. What do you say, Curtis?
Gentlemen, good morning. Happy Friday to you guys.
To you too.
You too.
It's a pleasure and honor to call into the number one sports show in Houston.
Also, shout out to our Dynamo.
I believe they're the world champions, the best soccer team in the world. So that's awesome.
Yes, they are. Well, maybe not the world, but okay.
Yeah, that feels strong, but they're the U.S. Open champs.
Yeah.
Well,
so congratulations, winning the U.S. Open.
That's right.
As opposed to, like, you know, the Nicaraguan Open.
Hey, yep. I meant to call in yesterday. It was just such an exclusive, show. It's hard to get in sometimes. But, you know, real quick, you guys were talking about, you know, the pitching matchups. John, you're right. A.J. Hinch kind of thinks a little differently, especially come playoff time. It's not like, of course, you're going Verlander, Cole first, but in the third game, you're going to give Keuchel the start. You're going to give him a try. If he gets past that first inning and if he gets going, he's lethal, and he can get through, you know, he can get to seven innings easy if he's just, you know, getting those soft ground balls. But he's going to be on a short leash, and you know who's going to be coming in right after that is that boy Josh James with the 100-mile-an-hour fastball and the 90-mile-an-hour power change. That's the X factor of coming in. And so you kind of forget that. That's kind of how it's not just one guy. It's going to be a hybrid approach, especially in the third game. And it's great. You know, I feel like that's what Hinch is going to do. Josh James
well,
is lethal.
You know what? That'd be a great combination. The soft toss and lefty, and then you come in with 100 mile an hour from the right side.
So sick.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. And that's if Josh James isn't your game three starter. Because if Morton can't go, I wouldn't be shocked at all if Josh James wasn't game three or four.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I'd be a little bit surprised.
I wouldn't.
If you talk about, if AJ values World Series experience and all this and that, I don't know that he's throwing Josh James.
Well, I'll tell you this: I was shocked that he brought him in Boston in a big series that was crucial, and he threw him. I think it was three innings in Boston when in a tight game. I think AJ's
Morton.
Like. I don't know that I don't know. Has AJ had this kind of toy before? 100 miles an hour but with a 90 mile an hour slider. I don't know.
But it's not like Josh James has dominated the competition, though. I know he's got everyone talks about 100-mile-an-hour fastball, but he hasn't been just like this lights-out dominant phenomenon.
No.
Though.
No.
That's why, 100 miles an hour is great, but that doesn't
mean
you're
I'm going to tell you this. You're going to see Josh James in the postseason in critical situations.
You will. You're not going to see him start, though. I can't. Not when you have the four starters you have.
No.
Well, if Morton can't go.
No,
yeah.
But only if Morton can't go.
Yeah.
There's no way he surpasses Morton. All right, John wants to get in here and talk about Carlos Correa as well.
Yeah.
Hey, John, how are you?
Yeah, I had a comment on Correa. Here's my thoughts on Correa. And, you know, Lance, you mentioned earlier, it's like we don't want to not start him or not play him up in the lineup as much, so we don't want to offend him. I don't think it matters because, say, he gets his crap together and he really kicks ass, he's a badass player for the next few years, he's probably not going to sign with us. And if he doesn't get his shit together,
doesn't get his stuff together.
Well, that was aggressive.
Is John still there?
Well, he probably
Dell probably had to dump
him. We get your point. Why do you think that he's not going to sign with the Astros?
Well, there's thoughts that he'll go test the market somewhere
maybe.
Else. Here's
and
the
so
thing.
So there was thoughts that Altuve might, and there was thoughts that.
So, but what are you saying? Like, well, we're not going to be able to hang on to him anyway, so don't play him, and he's not because he's not good enough. And I mean, Carlos Correa is still a very good defensive option as
well. But listen, if that's the case, if you think you're not going to, but that's
you
know, that's silly to
decisions
think that,
about something that's happening three years
from now.
That's not even in the. It's not even in their thoughts.
And, yeah, that's not even in the.
We might lose him in 3 years. Don't play him.
Right. No. But here's the deal. If he's not hitting and you don't think you're going to resign him, then yeah, who cares? You know what?
Maybe in 3 years. But that's not a factor.
That's
this
not.
Year.
You know what this organization is hoping is that, holy crap, Carlos, please turn it back around because they got him on arbitration for 3 years. And they're like, oh my God, how much do we have to pay him for what he did his first couple of years? And now if he's going to be this Carlos Correa, what? I mean, this
just
is.
Wonder how much
this
Alex
will be
Cora.
One of the biggest. One of the. This is like, have you seen a guy fall off? Yeah, we've seen it before.
Oh, baseball's where it happens.
Yeah, where you just fall
baseball's
off the
Baseball's the
world.
Home of falling off the world because it's so a lot of it's so mental and confidence. He obviously just doesn't have
this
the confidence right now.
This is David Duvall-esque. I mean, from number one in the world to he hits it sideways.
It's not that far a fall.
Dude,
that's one of the worst falls of all time in sports.
Carlos Correa is really bad.
Carlos is having what has happened to lots of major leaguers before. You go from good year to really surprisingly off year, and that does happen in baseball. But I don't know that it's going to end his career. I mean, David Duvall basically his career was over as we knew it. I don't think that's what we're talking about. You know, I really don't think that's what we're talking about. I just think that, you know, Carlos he lost his guy Alex Cora, who really helped him with a lot of the approach at the plate stuff, and I think he's struggling with that right now, you know, and I'm not sure what it's going to take to get him back, but this team is way more than Carlos Correa's bat. Carlos Correa's bat right now would just give you another level that would make you that much harder to beat. But even without Carlos Correa this year, the Astros have more wins. Carlos Correa has missed a portion of the season and has not hit effectively for a long time, and they still are going to have more wins this year than last year. So, I mean, I think you're still okay. I don't want to overly focus on that when the fact is if Bregman can keep playing at a peak level, if Altuve is the guy that they really need to get turned back around here, back on the high side, get him a little hot going into the playoffs, which may or may not happen, but he strikes me as a guy that can flip a switch and, you know, he could end up just taking over.
I'm hoping Carlos is that guy, too. I'm hoping that he just all of a sudden he goes, that's right. He looks in the mirror. That's right. I'm Carlos Correa. I forgot. Let's take a break.
Tyler White does that and says, oh, that's right. I'm Tyler White.
No, I don't want Tyler White to look in the mirror.
No. I'm saying I'm Tyler White from the last couple months.
No. Tyler White woke up one day. If he's going to wake up one day and go, holy crap, I'm not supposed to hit like this. I'm Tyler White. I look like Thorin Oakenshield. I'm not supposed to be doing this. You got to talk right now because we got people that are calling in to play Beat the Limo Guy as we speak. Right now, you should save people money.
So on Bill Advisor, so this is one of the things that I know some of you are worried about is I don't have all day to be on the phone and deal with this and that. And if I told you that Bill Advisor could do everything for you, all you have to do is just get your bills together. That's all you need to do. And I know it's a big pain. Like, oh, no, I'm paperless because I got an extra $1.50 discount if I went paperless. And just get your username, password, do whatever it takes. Get your bills and just get them to Bill Advisor. They'll look through your bills or see where your rates are. They know what your rates should be and what most people are paying. They'll see if there's any bogus, you know, phony little charges, because there are some companies that will put charges on there that they can get taken off because they're just ways of taking more money from you. And Bill Advisor does all this. You don't have to do anything other than you might get a phone call, three-way call, where a company like AT&T, for example, said, do you give Bill Advisor permission to speak for you? And I said, yes, I do. Thank you very much. Click. I hung up. And then a couple hours later, I got a call from the person working on my account who said, you're all done. We saved you here. Your new bill is this on your cell phone. Your new bill is this on internet and home phone, which is bundled. I got you a special deal with...
We'll
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.